Chris, the Kings have set the tone before. We've seen this, and there are a lot of demons exercised throughout these last two nights. We've seen them set the tone, and then the tone goes away. That was not the case these last two nights. Was that because of Keon Ellis? Depends on who you ask. I think a lot of us think it is. I mean, we discuss a lot on this show taking the identity of someone.
Yeah.
And is there something to be said about, and maybe this is what Coach Mike Brown is also alluding to, right? That spark plug. And you have an offensive spark plug with Malik Monk. Well, here go a defensive spark plug. And everybody is going to embody what Keon Ellis is doing. And that could be part of it as well, because you can't convince me that Keon Ellis and the energy that he's bringing isn't just pulling everybody in and making everybody feel like, you know what, I'm going to step up on defense too. If Keon can play like that, then I'm going to do it too. It's just, he's attracting everybody to his energy.
Yeah.
And the man has aura. Okay, don't think, Keon, if you're listening, don't think we don't see your little three-point celebrations. He's got some swagoo going, and I love everything about that. Let's hear from the man himself as he was asked about defensive assignments and what he wants to bring to the table every time he's on the floor.
I mean, I just know when I'm out there, to pressure guys, you know, make it tough on them. You know, they have guys like D-Lo. I mean, and then last game with Dame, you know, just want to make it tough on them as you can, because, you know, they can obviously get it rolling, so you don't want to let them or take a possession off, you know, where you're not pressuring them or, you know, doing what you're supposed to do. And, you know, those guys, if they see the ball go in a couple of times, you know, that can ignite them or the team. So I definitely take it upon myself to when I'm on guys to make sure that I'm as locked in as I can to not let that happen with me being on them, you know. So that's definitely my mindset and approach on it when I'm guarding guys like that.
And everything else is just found money.
Yeah. No, I've got, and I have a little bit of a bone to pick with NBA.com too. I posted this video on my Twitter earlier. Mm-hmm. Keon Ellis on NBA.com, you look at his defensive numbers from the box score yesterday, 1 of 8 when players defended by Keon Ellis were 1 of 8 yesterday, 1 of 6 from 3. Posted the video, if you can go look at it on my social. That one isn't even on Keon Ellis. It was wrongly described. And so actually, Keon Ellis yesterday, people when defended by Keon Ellis, in actuality, were 0 of 7, 0 of 5 from 3, 0 of 4 from D'Lo, 0 of 2 from Austin Reeves, 0 of 1 from Rui. Put him on Ellis Island, and it was all shut down. And it's back-to-back nights of him just completely negating somebody. I mean, what he did against Dame on Tuesday was incredible. And for him to back that up with, you know, I mean, D'Angelo Russell is not anywhere near Dame's level, but he's still a guy who can get buckets and is on a heater
lately.
So for them to initially put Keon on D'Lo, and then I think after Austin Reeves kind of started getting cooking in that first quarter, they decided to put Keon on him, and Austin Reeves really didn't do much the rest of that first half. So, I mean, Keon is, he's a weapon, man. He is somebody that you can just throw out there. And, you know, we talk about dogs on this show, and that's somebody you just, you take the leash off of him, and you just let him go. You let him go to work.
Yeah, he had 8 deflections last night. And he did that in, what was it, 20? And Coach Mike Brown even spoke to it and said that not only did Keon Ellis do that in 28 minutes, he went on to say that that would be impressive if he did it in 48 minutes.
Wow.
So that's how active he is.
Yeah.
That's how much he's changing the game. And Weapon is right. Yeah. And I think he is the kind of the yin to Malik Monk's yang.
Yeah.
If he's going to go back on the bench when Kevin Huerter and the team is fully healthy, then that's something you got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, fine. You want to stick to your guns, coach, and not start him. And he's saying he can still get 25 minutes. He can still get those minutes, because when he's out there, it has been a problem.
Yeah.
And he is the type of guy that we've seen. And this is probably part of the reason that Coach Mike Brown isn't worried about starting him, because he's already proven that he just stays ready.
He's a basketball player.
So he doesn't have to worry about, hey, he's got to get lathered. He's got to get a rhythm.
No.
I know I can call on Keon. He's going to be ready to go.
Yeah, now, he said it yesterday, right? Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Now, could that maybe affect his three-point shooting?
Possibly.
Right.
But if I'm not mistaken, didn't he make the first three he took against the Bucks?
Yep.
After not starting,
he's 3 of 5 yesterday.
3 of 5 yesterday, and I know we. I mean, let's be honest here. We're honest on this show. He missed that first three. We thought, okay, national game. got to get used to it, and he was good.
He was fine.
He was totally good after that, and good is probably an understatement as we break down everything from the game last night. Sabonis actually discussed as well the importance of every game. And this is obviously these guys have said these things before, but now that we are up against it and it is really money time, it seems like they're starting to understand the importance. Here's Sabonis.
Since the All-Star break was finished, that first game, you know, we know that every game is like a playoff game. There's 3-4 teams that are fighting for that 5th, 6th spot, you know, and any kind of game that we just lay an egg or something is going to cost us a lot at the end.
What's the situation again?
Yeah, excuse me?
Wait.
Now I know.
So, how different is that? So, Sabonis is literally since the All-Star break, we knew every single game is pretty much a gotta-have-it. And D'Lo's here sitting like, wait, we're in the play-in right now?
Yeah, yeah. D'Lo thought they were the 4 seed.
Yeah, he said, hold on, but we were in the conference finals last year. Wait, I just thought, no, I mean, you love to hear that. I mean, first and foremost, I think that it's, you know, to tie it in with that D'Lo thing, to tie it in with Sabonis' audio, like, it's great to hear that they're treating every game like that. I just hope that they still have another level to go to in the playoffs, and that's a problem for the future, but you know, just in general, I mean, them ramping it up here as of late, it's been necessary. I mean, I think with how loose they were playing, or at least with the inconsistency at which they were playing, there was no way you were going to go into the playoffs and feel positively about it. So the fact that, I mean, they've given themselves that leeway to kind of build themselves up to where they are now, I think it's just been great, man. And I think that you see, again, these last two games, it's just felt like the intensity has been there. The attention to detail has been there. And, you know, I personally could feel it yesterday, or I'm sorry, on Tuesday in Mike Brown's opening press conference. Like, even before the game, there was just a different energy of how they walked out. It just feels like, you know, as crazy it is to say, it just feels like now they fully understand, like, there is no time to mess
around. There's no time to mess around. And look, we know that De'Aaron Fox he is not the most demonstrative person. And we've had a lot of conversations. Man, they need to get chippy. They need to get this. They need to get that. And I think that gets confused with whether or not these guys care. Mm-hmm. And the later we get into the season, I don't think there is a Kings fan with any question at this point in time whether or not these guys care.
Yeah.
They would blow a game to the Blazers. You say, how could that happen? They blow a game to the Hornets. How could that happen? At this point in time, they all understand the past is the past, and we need to move forward. Does that mean they're not ever going to have another bad loss? No, it doesn't mean that they won't ever have another bad loss. Hopefully they don't, but it's possible that they do. But we now know as a fan base that it's not, you know, when De'Aaron Fox would say, I got to clear my head, or I kind of flush it.
Yeah.
It didn't rub everybody the right way, but that's just how he compartmentalizes things. And I think it will get looked at differently when he says it now than when he said it a little bit earlier in the season. Right. And people like me, who wears his emotion on his sleeve, is saying, how could you say that?
Right.
I'd be worried about it for the next 3 weeks until the next game happens. I'd still be worried about
it. But now it's just part of a grind set.
It's just part of it. And you have to be able to learn from it.
Yeah.
But also move forward. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Doug, who wants to be a part of the conversation. Stiles and Watkins, what's up, Doug? What you got for us?
Gentlemen, how are you? It's nice to see two games in a row that we played a full 48 minutes on both ends. A couple things that I have. First off, one of the side effects of having Keon play as much as he did, last night, Mr. Barnes got those dribble handoffs that Kevin Huerter was getting, and all of a sudden, Barnes is going, I can hit those shots. But he was getting the touches. So that was, for me, that was really, really important. We're going, uh-oh, and he was on. So that was good. The other thing is that, this is a while ago, but and you guys probably know this, but Bobby Jackson was our instant guy who came off the bench and did that kind of stuff that Keon's doing. And that's kind of how I compare him. I don't like comparing players, but that's the kind of player that he was. The other thing that I really enjoyed is that when I'm looking at the faces of Milwaukee and the Lakers, they're wondering, how come we just don't walk in here and get all the calls and the Kings are getting none? Then they're going, hey, those guys over there called the Kings, they're not backing down. Right. They're going to come back over there and we're going to be physical and aggressive. And if we maintain that style to the rest, we're going to be a tough out. So that's all I have. Have a great show. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Doug. Yeah, and that was also brought up when Sam Amick was on the morning show, that the narrative is starting to change in the NBA from the Kings being a team that other teams want to play to the exact opposite, right. The Kings being a team that you do not want to see because it's all about when you get hot. And are the Kings getting hot at just the right time? Maybe a little bit early, but starting to get warmed up. You turn your seat warmer up. You know, you don't go too hot. Yeah. You don't go too hot too fast. I know it's been windy outside today, but the sun's going to come out and the Kings are going to continue to warm up. When we return, we just heard from Doug what he thought was the most impressive part of the win. Let's hear from the rest of you. Will, we see you on the line. Chris and I will discuss the most impressive parts of last night's win and this two-win set. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Coming up soon at 1 p.m., Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento, March 29th. And that will be at 1 p.m. You will have your chance. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, 916-339-1140. I saw something on the Sac Chat. Shout out to the Sac Chat, by the way, going crazy today. Everybody excited about the two wins. Chris, I saw something from our person, Raw Bishop, who mentioned how the Kings need to flop more. And we've discussed, and he said that the Kings don't have any foul merchants.
Yeah.
The Kings play with a lot of integrity.
Yeah.
They play with probably, they're a top three integrity team in the league. There are no foul merchants. There are no grifters. They do not flop. De'Aaron Fox had to, at the end of that sequence in the Bucks where he got smacked by Jay Crowder, he got smacked by somebody else, and he still didn't get the call.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting because if Domantas Sabonis were to flop as many times as he gets hit, he might end up with no stats because he just gets abused every single time. And if he were to hit the ground and not play through the contact, he would just never be able to do anything. So in a weird way, it's almost like the Kings' way of showing their toughness that they're gonna quite literally play through the whistle and. Yeah. Whether the foul comes or not, it really shouldn't affect how you shoot the ball because that's one of the most infuriating things when watching basketball games is guys who are playing with a lack of integrity, who are foul merchants just looking to get a whistle. Sometimes it's like you're not even really trying to make the shot.
No,
you're just trying to put
crazy.
Your body in a compromising position to draw a foul. And it's like, and sometimes you don't get the foul. And so then it just looks like you took this ridiculous shot. You just wasted
Dame
a possession
had a bad
to act.
One.
He did. Yeah,
he had
a really
bad
one
where he was on the side and just chucked it up.
Yes.
And he's just
no call.
Where's my foul? Yeah.
And you see how AD yesterday had a couple times where he hits the deck looking for there was the steal at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Where Sabonis kind of, you know, they met at the peak for the ball. And AD kind of flopped. He was gonna try and get because they're the Lakers, he knows. You're going to not call this? I'm Anthony Davis, a star on the Lakers, and, you know, Sabonis just got a steal that pretty much seals this game. Put it in the ref's hands, and it's an interesting strategy, and it's worked out for them a lot, but you see how, you know, because there's also a human element of it, too. If you're out here flopping, begging for calls the entire game, and then the other side is just playing through it, you see guys get hit in the face, maybe you as a ref say, ooh, I missed that, but he didn't complain, he just ran down the floor, I'm going to be a lot more partial to that other team, even though it doesn't show that way in the stat sheet. Like, I think that sometimes in those key moments, it can kind of stack up and you know, give a positive effect for the Kings. So I like them playing with some integrity.
You know what? I just thought about this. They would never do this, or maybe they could, because, it could all be anonymous. You got the anonymous GMs who say whatever the heck they
want. Oh,
yeah,
whatever they want.
Why don't they have, just for fun, just so we all understand who complains the most, who flops the most. Mm. You know where I'm going with this. Yeah. Have the refs do a survey.
Like an anonymous survey.
Anonymous yeah. referee survey.
Or like a poll even. Give yes. us some percentages.
Teams that they enjoy reffing the most, yeah. players that they enjoy reffing the most, teams that they enjoy reffing the least, right. and players that they enjoy reffing the least. I guarantee
yeah.
the Kings are at the top of that list for teams that they enjoy reffing. Because it's very rare. Yeah. There's no flopping. Yep. Okay. You got Malik Hussein who's telling them jokes. all right.
So
and I just, you got to think that the Kings
yeah.
are at the top of that list. Let's get to Will, who wants to be a part of the conversation. 916-339-1140. What's up, Will? What you got for us?
Styles and Watkins, my boys. How y'all doing, man?
Man, never just been better. Living. What you got for us?
We had an HB sighting last night, right?
Here you go. Here you go.
He showed up. Look, man. Hey, this is the Hall of Fame of floppers, okay? Mm-hmm. Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Kevin Durant, Booker. I mean, look. I mean, the referees. You just look at them. You know they're gonna fall, and they're gonna get the. You know they're gonna get that that. It's a shame we don't, the Kings don't get those. But anyway, I mean, my boy De'Aaron be getting killed, man. He getting no foul shots. But my man still got to get some more rebounds. But anyway, hey, look, I tell you, man, you said it, Styles. The Kings got to get chippy. They got to play with an attitude. And they did that in the last two games. You know, you can't relent to nobody. And, man, let me tell you something. My boy, Keon.
Mm-hmm.
Keon in his face, man. You can look at this guy. See, this guy's serious, man. He's a baller. He's a ball player. And Brown was forced to use this guy. He was forced to play him. I don't understand this. This guy was an all-defensive teamer in the Southeastern Conference, man, with Alabama. He made all-defense twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't get drafted. But you can see the intensity in this guy. He reminds me of Gary Payton. He really does. And I think it's rubbing off on some of the other players. You know, he getting extra time, and he's balling and digging guys up. Even if he don't, you know, he's always get his hand on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You see how many deflections he got last night? Man, it's just awesome in the way to play. And see, now people understand why we've been so frustrated, man. We can beat anybody in the league anytime, but then we let them chumps come in here and beat us. We can't, but the rest of the schedule looks good. The rest of the schedule looks good, and I just hope we keep going, man. Because that game last night, the Lakers were so frustrated. You could see Bron; he was so frustrated, man. He couldn't. And when we dropped into the zone, it was nothing they could do when we dropped into the zone. But the game against Milwaukee, man, we killed them. We killed them. But anyway, I'm glad Keon is playing, and even with her to come back, man, Keon has to get most of those minutes, man, because he plays D. No disrespect to Herter, I love Herter, but he can't play D, man. That's the problem. If he's hitting the shots, cool, leave him in there. But if, you know, he got to play some defense.
Thanks for the call, Will. As always, Will always has a lot to say, so I'm just going to break down,
yeah.
I guess, the middle of all of that, which is Keon Ellis and the hunger that he has, mm-hmm. right? And I posted a meme yesterday or a clip from Batman, right? When he climbing out of the cave, and they said, no man has ever climbed out of the cave. Keon to go from the SEC, undrafted, the G League, and right. Keon climbing out of the cave.
The two-way.
And a two-way. Nobody thought he's going to get out of the cave, and he gets out of the cave.
Yep.
And I think that hunger is translating, and the rest of the team, mm-hmm. you got to say, is feeding off of that hunger. Because
yeah.
every time he goes out there, I'm not sitting here. I don't have any expectations. I'm not entitled. I don't have any entitlement.
Right.
I got to get it out the mud every time
yeah.
that I step on that court, because I don't know when I'm getting back on the court.
Right.
Especially with Coach Brown. I definitely don't know when I'm getting back on the court. So I need to make me feel me, dog.
Right.
I got to be a dog so they can feel me, dog. You don't feel me, dog.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're told that you and Will are both completely right. Like, I mean, Keon's defense is ridiculous. It's contagious. Whitey asked a question about asked De'Aaron a question about how his defense is a little bit like you're describing. It's like, you know, you see a guy like Keon giving his full effort defensively, just the heads up play he's making, the attention to detail that he has on the defensive end. And then on the offensive end, I think that's really where I'm most impressed with Keon, because he's not pressing. Like, you would think a dude who's, you know, starving and has, you know, struggled to get here or has fought to get here, you would think the second he gets an opportunity, he's going to say, I got to show coach what I can do. But he's so calm, so measured in all the shots he takes. And it's almost inspiring to see just a guy who at this point in the season never got down on himself. I'm sure it wasn't easy going back and forth from Stockton to Sacramento. Never sure. You know, you see Kevin Herter. They have Malik Monk. He's probably looking at the depth chart saying, where am I ever going to get my time? Mm-hmm. And he just waited it out. And now with 18 games left, you're seeing that he's getting a real opportunity to lock down an actual rotational spot. And I just think it's great, man. I think this is exactly like the infusion of energy that this team needs at this point in the season. You didn't get any of your offseason additions to really do what you were expecting them to do. That's what Keon Ellis is doing right now. He's adding to this team something that they didn't have last year. And, you know, that's how they can be different. That's how the result of this year can be different possibly than the result of last year, is by Keon Ellis being an unexpected gem that they really just kind of stumbled upon.
Every season a team has that guy, and maybe the importance isn't as much or as little as a different guy on a different team, but you just need somebody. Yeah. You need playmakers. You need difference makers, and that's what Keon Ellis has been. Mike, we see you. Steven, we see you. Don't go anywhere. Got to pay some bills when we return, continuing the conversation, and we will hear from D'Angelo Russell. And look, if I'm being a hater on D'Lo, let me know. But it sounds like he's being a hater. We'll play it for you when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Simone is dancing behind the glass, doing her best You Got Serve impression. I think, Simone, you play this every time you produce for us, and it's amazing.
I didn't know that.
I think it's on your list.
I'm embarrassed now that you say that.
No,
that kind of consistency we
Batman
don't want
Scoop,
around here.
Timbaland.
Yeah. Timbaland. Love Timbaland. Okay, let me shut it down.
There you go. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. Simone will pick the caller, and she probably hopes it's someone. If you say you like You Got Served, you'll probably win. So there's a little there's a little hint for you. Let's get to the phone lines, which have been on fire. Also, shout out to the Sack Chat and the text line as well. You got the 916 real quick. Ellis Island is the Kings' Brock Purdy. That's from Amid Rock. I don't know about that yet, Amid Rock. I want to go there, but we got to see more. We got to see more. Let's get to Mike. Let's see what Mike wants to chat about. What's up, Mike? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Hello, Watkins. Thanks for having me on the show. You know, I'm just so pumped right now. I mean, we beat Hollywood not once, not twice, not three, four times. Okay. You know, we beat them in Hollywood. They had all the stars. They can't handle it. You know, they hate it. It's all about Sacramento. We lit the beam on them. And I want to give a special shout-out to my boy, Harrison Barnes. The guy is the best pro the Kings have. People need to stop hating on him. Everybody's going to have a bad day. The guy, he gets whacked. Stoic. He doesn't care. LeBron gets whacked. He's crying to referees. I mean, you know, all those people who are at the Golden One, rocking the yellow and purple, they had to look up at the sky at the end of the night. Woo! And look at that beat.
That's
because to beat the man, baby, as Ric Flair, you got to be the man. Kings are on fire.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Great stuff. Yeah, that was definitely not the purple that the Lakers wanted to see. And I can't get...
I'm still
trying to find some Laker fan with some pride to call in. Just if you have any pride, just say, hey.
Come on, man. They're down bad right now.
Great season for you guys.
They're just finding out that they're in the 9 seed.
But here's the thing. If you're a Laker fan in Sacramento, I'm telling you, you're listening. You happen to turn on Sacramento radio. You happen to. So I know you're out there. Have some integrity. Have some pride.
Because you're loud when you're up.
Because you're loud. Sure. Oh, they were. Oh, my gosh, the king. Yeah.
Okay. I forget sometimes how, like, there's level. Like, I always, you know, Warrior fans, they're loud. They can be obnoxious, but there's a different level, man. Laker fans just really find a way. It's like it's the entitlement. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that you still think you're on top.
Yeah.
It's just it's crazy the hubris that these guys have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get it. Y'all are definitely a legacy franchise, but it's just y'all don't want to hear it, but it's a bit Dallas Cowboy-y.
It really is. It really is. All they have, they got the bubble ring, and besides that, that's what they have been going back to. But by the way, the player of the game last night, talking about these obnoxious Laker fans, player of the game didn't even step on the court. Chris, I don't know, that video, did that get released, the video that you had? There was some dude, we're in section 105, and there was some dude hanging over like the balcony, a Kings fan, just giving it to Laker fans all night long. I mean, it was definitely suitable for work, but
I posted it.
He was giving it to the Laker
fans. He was giving them
fans.
The birds, yeah.
Oh, that, I really threw you to the ground like that, JJ.
You just killed Allen. I hope you're happy. That just took Allen out.
No, that's that one. I mean, they were just getting, they had to wear it all night
it's
long.
It's so good, man. Yeah. I mean, I saw that beam and I thought the same thing you said. I say all these Laker fans got to go up and look at that. I know they're sick, man.
Because
the thing that Laker fans love more than anything is rubbing it in and being, honestly, they do take joy out of being obnoxious. They're like,
corny, very cringe.
Very, yes. Incredibly. It's just like, man, like, you know, okay. Like, for sure. It's just crazy to me how y'all can talk about championships, but then at the same time, when you beat the Kings, it's also a big deal. But then when we beat y'all, all of a sudden, oh, when was the last time y'all won a champion? Oh, y'all getting up for regular season? That's
banners,
cute.
Banners.
Like, pick one.
Pick one. Here's the other thing, too.
Just stay consistent.
I hope out here, you know, maybe a construction worker, construction site, whatever it is, you're blasting Styles and Watkins right now.
Yeah.
Because one of those fans is your coworker.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's the thing. They got to go back to work and deal with all their Kings fan coworkers.
Oh, you know they were
Kings
talking crazy yesterday,
friends.
Too.
So make sure you're blasting this, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if your boss is a Laker fan, they got to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
They got
especially
to wear it. Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Man, what do I got? My boss is a Laker fan, man. So I had to come in today and just hear it, dog. It is not good. But I mean, hell, 0-4, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funny, man. The last time that we swept in Milwaukee, or that we beat Milwaukee and swept the Lakers, was in the same exact year, the 15-16 season, and we did it within a 48-hour period.
Yeah.
That says a lot. And I don't hear it. Thank God Willie called. First off, what the heck is Willie having for dinner tonight, man? We've been off of that for a long time. Second of all, I'm glad that he called, man, because this man's been on Harrison for so long, and it was so nice to watch that old Falcon drop 7 threes on LeBron James' dome, on his dome. And it was just so great. It was an absolutely phenomenal win. It was exciting. I'm still not letting this team get me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for that other shoe to drop. You know
what I'm saying?
But hopefully it doesn't drop. What a great game, boys. What a great game.
Fantastic.
By the way, Watkins, your post game, man, you be getting some numbers, my guy.
Oh,
you be getting some big time numbers on that. So I see you, my friend. You guys have a good day. Thank you for letting me talk, man.
Always.
Thanks
Steven.
For the call, Steven. Yeah, and if you have not been on Chris's post game, that comes on right after the games on YouTube. Make sure you check that out.
Yes.
Sacktown Sports.
It's a great time.
Same place you find this show. So make sure you check out Chris. He's been doing a great job rocking out. I actually crashed the party yesterday.
And you showed up late.
And Chris ended the stream when I showed up.
You literally showed up as I was wrapping up.
I said, hey, I'm in here. Because Chris, I said, hey, Chris, I don't want to bother you. He said,
no,
hey, come in for a cameo.
Me.
Then I come in and Chris says, gotta go.
I mean, I was literally like wrapping up as you were walking up, and I was like, I'm not like, because with the live streams too, it just, it snowballs. Like, if I don't cut it off, I'm going to go for, like, I think on Tuesday I went for like an hour. Yesterday I went for like 40 minutes, and it just becomes like, I could be on here all night just talking to you guys in the comments. It's a great time. I mean, yeah, if you're not doing anything after the game, even if it's just casual listening, it's super chill. Interact with the chat. Definitely hop in there. The more people that are in there, the more engagement, the longer those things will go. And, yeah, the more fun we can have. So definitely hop on in there. Steven said, on LeBron's head, we have not talked about Harrison Barnes throwing it down on AD's dome.
Oh, yeah. That set the tone That set the tone as well, because he got down there, and a lot of times you think, okay, HB's gonna pump fake,
up and under, maybe
what's he gonna do? He said, no, I'm with it.
Yeah,
I'm with it. You have Shortcake 182 saying it's the best post game with a couple emojis. Manny Too Legit saying always tuning in to Chris's recaps, and Dwayne also saying I'm there until bedtime. Pike 916, keep it going till they kick you out. Yeah. When we return, continuing the conversation, has one less scoring option actually helped the Kings? We also have some pocket watching to do and more of your calls, more of your texts, more of your Sack Chat. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. A little bit of pocket watching here. There wasn't a lot of action last night. The Warriors got smacked by the Mavericks. The Warriors ended up missing Draymond and Steph.
Really?
Yeah, so they didn't help out. The one time I convinced Chris Watkins root for the Warriors, they were good for nothing, as
they always are.
Usual. So another good reason for the Kings to win, because the Mavericks are right on their heels, and the Mavericks did win last night. That was really the only important, besides the game itself.
That's right.
Cavs, for what it's worth, we heard Sabonis mention the 5 seed. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, the Cavs got Donovan Mitchell back, and they did beat the Pelicans last night. So, not to get ahead of ourselves, but the Cavs, they beat the Pelicans, so that helps.
It sure does.
So that
helps. Kings are only a game back right now of the Pelicans.
They're only
one game back.
Look, man.
With one game against the Pelicans remaining in the schedule. I'm just saying. And the Kings, obviously, everybody got your pen and paper. The Kings do not have the tiebreaker over the Pelicans.
Right. You got to make sure of that. Does that make you worry even more about the Pelicans, the fact that the Kings beat the Lakers 4 times and it was never close, that there are only so many adjustments you can make, and that Styles do kind of make fights? Does that make you worry more about the Pelicans? Or not so much, because, look, they lose this game to the Pelicans, and you just figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already concerned about the Pelicans. So, I mean, it's I do think that it's just a bad matchup. I think that just all of the forwards that they have is just a problem for the Kings. There's no way that the Kings can match up with Zion, Trey Murphy, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, the rookie they got, Jordan Hawkins. He's got way too many guys. I don't think that there's really any world in which the Kings can match up with them. It's just going to be about, can they find something? Can they maybe find one, you know, that hole in the Death Star that they can shoot the laser, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what they shoot in Star Wars.
Lightsaber.
Yeah, well, no, you don't shoot the light. it's just about finding the cracks in the armor for the Pelicans. Like, what are some things that you can exploit mismatch-wise? Because, I mean, honestly, I don't have a lot of faith in that matchup in a 7-game series. We've just seen how that goes one too many times. So, you know, it's about getting that one win, and, you know, who knows? It's been a while since you've seen the Pelicans. Maybe also you can just catch them on an off day. Who knows? You know, teams have bad days, and the Kings are, at this point, they've already lost the 4. They really do just need to worry about winning that one game, and it's going to be late in the season. It's game number 80 in April against the Pelicans. So, you know, you just got to put yourself in the right position. And then, you know, if that does become a gotta-have-it win, all you got to do is win that one time against the Pelicans, and hopefully you won't have to play them again.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Rockets, we're done with them. Yeah. It is what it is. But that's in terms of, hey, stepping up your game and showing up, when it's time to show up. That will be a test for the Kings. But we got time for that. Yeah. Right now, the Kings are in the sixth seed, and they want to continue to stay there. They could actually gain more ground against the Suns tonight if the Celtics can take care of business. Suns are at Celtics tonight. They are in Boston. So the Celtics are getting dangerously close to not to clinching.
Yes.
Right? But they're not there yet.
I think
yet.
They can clinch with a win today, actually. So they kind of need it. Okay, they don't need it, obviously. They don't need a lot of time, but there's some incentive. Extra incentive.
Right. And we know the incentive for the Suns, so we will see what happens there. That's a huge matchup as far as the Kings are concerned. The other big matchup will be the Mavericks have a back-to-back. Now they have to go to OKC. And hopefully OKC takes care of business and the Mavericks for a couple of reasons. And hopefully the Mavericks don't get that game, as the Mavericks are a half game behind the Kings.
Yeah, and OKC is in their own battle as well, so they're going to be incentivized, obviously, to win these games. They're a half game back of the Denver Nuggets. We've got a new, I guess you can't say champion because they were the champions last year, but you have a new king amongst the Western Conference now. Denver has snuck back into number one, I believe, for the first time this season, if not like really, really early in the year. That's as tight of a race as any in the Western Conference is that those top three seeds are only separated by one game. So OKC's definitely going to bring it tonight against Dallas. And, you know, I feel like I've mentioned that Dallas two-game miniseries that the Kings have later this month. The Kings need Dallas to lose as many games as possible leading into those, because those games are they count as double. Both of those games can really determine really where the Kings are going to finish, because if Dallas wins both of those, they're going to leapfrog them more than likely, and it's going to be tough for the Kings to get the advantage over them. And then also not having the tiebreaker over the Pelicans, it just would really make it hard for the Kings to make it out of the play-in. So really, you want Phoenix and Dallas to be losing as many games as possible these days. And I actually just looked at it too. I know I said it earlier, but we are officially 1 month away from the end of the season. The final Kings regular season game is April 14th, as we sit here on March 14th.
Money time.
This is money time.
Money time. Let's hear from D'Angelo Russell, who probably doesn't know that there's only 1 month left in the season. D'Angelo Russell had some things to say
in his post-game All-Star break
when he was asked about what the Kings have been able to do. And the question that I want to pose is whether or not it sounds like D'Lo is being a hater. He has a ton of good things to say about Coach Mike Brown, but it's the lack of what he has to say about any players and not naming players that makes me feel like maybe there's a little bit of salt. Let's hear from him.
I think Mike Brown, honestly, I know how good of a coach he is. I know what he's done to that team. I know where they were before he got there, and they are where they are now. I think, obviously, they have players that are more than capable, but the system that he's put around those guys, everybody's involved, I would say, and everybody's lethal, you know. And I know his style, so I know it's what they do is him. So, for sure.
Am I reaching?
It depends what exactly the question was, but I think maybe a little bit. Because to me, that's more just him saying, like, you know, and I also don't think D'Lo's got a lot of insight on this Kings team. Like, you know, maybe he could have said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Clearly, you know, he's not exploiting any weaknesses from them. So I don't think he's doing his research a ton. But no, I think that he might just be giving Mike Brown some flowers there, because, you know, honestly, not enough people do talk about the turnaround that Mike Brown did to this team. Like, who really honestly would have signed up for that Kings job? Not a lot of people. I'm not saying that it's one of 30 jobs. Of course someone would want it, and, you know, they had very qualified people in the interview process, including Darvin Ham, as a matter of fact. But I think that, you know, Mike Brown, and he's caught a lot of heat here recently from Kings fans, but this dude pretty much did the impossible. And I think that's more what D'Lo is recognizing, is the fact that this team went from just years and years, D'Lo's entire career, complete trash, to all of a sudden this guy shows up and, you know, they they look like a completely different team. They actually had Domantas Sabonis for that second half of the season. He only played a handful of games, but they were still hovering around 500. And granted, they didn't have Kevin Huerter, didn't have Malik Monk, didn't have Keegan Murray. But Mike Brown's arrival really is the you can look at that moment as, okay, they get Mike Brown, and then the next two seasons they have success. So I would just say D'Lo's probably, A, not greatly educated on the Kings and how they operate, and B, I think he's probably just giving props to Mike Brown. But again, I would have to probably hear the exact question asked, because if they're asking about the Kings in general and he just kind of diverted, I don't know if that's...
Shortcake is bringing something up on the SAC chat, and we heard it when I brought this up in the crossover as well. Is it possible D'Lo is throwing shade at Darvin Ham?
I was thinking that too. In those comments, I don't hear it, but initially, I mean, if you're just telling me that D'Lo goes on a long rant about how good the other coach is, usually that's like read between the lines. I love what this coach does because I'm not getting that in this situation.
Right.
So if you wanted to read into that, I think that there's probably a lot more there. But and didn't you? You showed me some weird comments, or it might have been Brendan, showed me some weird comments that D'Angelo Russell had about Darvin Ham talking about Dennis Schroeder. And maybe that relationship isn't very great, to say the least.
Yeah, well... Fine, I'll dial it back. He wasn't shading, but I will say he probably
he could have mentioned.
He didn't mention. Yes, he did not feel like mentioning anybody when he's looking down at his box score and he realizes he could have just stayed in beautiful LA because he did not do anything worth anything out here in Sacramento. When we return, has one less scoring option actually helped the Sacramento Kings? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.